Hello, everybody. It's great to see you again this morning, albeit seeing you virtually. And I'm delighted today that we have Alistair Watson speaking for us on the topic of prayer. Alistair, as many of you know, is a reader emeritus for our parish. And so thank you very much, Alistair. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And over to you.
Thank you, Alex. Good morning, everybody. You may remember that 2 weeks ago, Alex talked about prayer, and she talked primarily on why we pray. This morning, we're thinking again about prayer, and we're thinking primarily about how to pray. So before we start, let's have a prayer together. Lord Jesus' disciples asked you to teach them how to pray. We echo that prayer this morning. We come as learners, wanting to improve our knowledge and experience. We begin by saying, "Hallowed be your name." Speak to us, we ask, in the quiet of our homes. Amen. Do you find that there are a few, probably very few, sermons that you heard long ago which stick in your mind? That's usually because a really memorable point was made which resonated with you as an individual. Occasionally, something sticks because you were annoyed by it or you disagreed strongly. In my first term as a student, a sermon on prayer was given by an eminent preacher. His opening words I can remember precisely, and they were these: "God always answers prayer. The answer is yes or no, or wait." Those words made me cross, and after the service, I challenged the preacher with all the arrogance of youth. "Your opening sentence was totally meaningless," I argued. "There is no other answer but yes or no or wait. That's true of every request by anyone. It does not apply only to God." He laughed. At least you were listening, and I did what I wanted you to do. I captured your attention. The blunt fact is that most people think of prayer as asking God for things, and that is to miss the whole purpose of prayer. If we start by asking, by making our request to God, then we still have so much to learn. What is prayer then? We need that it is not what the world considers to be prayer and is regularly caricatured, namely asking God to change his mind at our request. I'm a great fan of Paul Tournier and have learned so much from him. He was a Swiss doctor who described himself as an ordinary GP but developed an international ministry as a preacher, teacher, and healer. He called himself a doctor of the whole person, one who learned more by listening than by talking. Most of us, not just GPs, find it very difficult to find time to listen, to cultivate silence, was the expression that he used. Life is too busy, too pressurized, for that to be practical. Tournier argues that no one will learn how to pray unless and until they learn to be silent and to listen. That takes priority over everything else. Yes, of course, there is scope for an arrow prayer like that used by Nehemiah. He was cupbearer to King Artaxerxes during a time of exile, and record that the king asked the most leading question: "What is it that you want?" Nehemiah 2 verse 4 records, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven and answered the king." Nehemiah instinctively prayed and spoke, precisely because he had long learned the discipline of silent listening to the voice of God and had formed a deep relationship with him. Look at the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. It begins by setting the relationship, our Father. The word is Abba, and that is a word that a child uses to address his parent. It's a word of intimacy and love. It could well be translated as dad or daddy. And the prayer continues, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven." Straight away, we have reached the very essence of prayer. This is the kernel, the essential center, without which everything else is pointless. To pray is to seek to identify our will with the will of God. Let me repeat that. It is only as we identify our will with the will of God that we truly pray. We are not trying to persuade God to change his mind to suit our wishes, however laudable those wishes might be. Rather, we are asking God to mold our wills and minds to comply with his. Do you know that wonderful painting by Rembrandt, The Return of the Prodigal Son? The original is superbly displayed at the Hermitage Palace at St. Petersburg, and I have a large poster of it behind me, which you may be able to see. The main figures in the painting are naturally the prodigal himself kneeling at the feet of his missing father and the frustrated elder brother standing on one side. When you look really closely, you notice further figures in the background, two men and two women. They make you wonder how they think or feel about what they are watching. They are bystanders or observers, but not participants. So many of us, me very much included, are like that in many situations in which we find ourselves. A call to prayer invites us to stop being only an observer and to dare to step into the center of the situation in which we are placed, to kneel down and allow ourselves to be held by a forgiving God. It is when we are in that position that we can bring our petitions and requests to him. Give us today the bread that we need for today. A wonderful illustration of this came in a Christian paper this week, and I quote, "A few days ago, with high fever, breathing difficulties, and dreamy excursions in and out of consciousness, I wondered whether it was a 77-year-old asthmatic. The end might be close. So I prayed, but in a new way. Instead of the predictably self-centered, 'Oh Lord, please save my life,' requests, I offered instead prayers of gratitude for a wonderful roller coaster ride. And then I offered prayers of surrender. 'Lord, it is you who decide the hour of our death. I gladly and totally surrender my life to your will.' And then this person recovered fully, feeling that at last he had got the point of his relationship with God. The best and most significant point has been left until last. If you looked at the service sheet that Alex sent with this Sunday morning service, you'll know that she asked us to read Jeremiah chapter 29. And verses 11 to 13 are the most telling summary of the basis for our prayers. Do look them up, Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 to 13. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek with all your heart." We do indeed prove by experience that we worship a God who delights to answer our prayers. and who has plans to prosper us and give us hope and a future. Let us together praise his holy name. Amen.